scriptures in hand and turn with me to John 8:44. That's going to be our scripture as we launch into this message this morning. We're continuing our series, Beware of the Little Things. Beware of the Little Things. This morning's message is entitled, The Truth About Lies. The Truth About Lies. I read a story about a police officer that pulled a guy over for speeding, and the police officer walked up to the guy's window and said, "Sir, may I see your driver's license?" The driver replied, "I don't have one. I got it suspended when I got my fifth DUI. The officer said, "Then may I see your vehicle registration?" The driver said, "Well, this is not my car. I stole it." Surprised, the officer said, "The car is stolen?" The driver said, "That's right, but I think the owner's registration is in the glove box because I saw it when I put my gun in there." The officer said, "There's a gun in the glove box?" "Yes, sir," the man said. "That's where I put it after I killed the woman who owns the car, and I stuffed her in the trunk." "There's a body in the trunk?" the officer said. "Sir, stay right where you are. Don't move." And the officer went back to his car, and he called his captain to send backup. In no time, the car was surrounded by several police cars, and the captain came, and he approached the driver, and he said, "Sir, can I see your license?" The man said, "Oh, sure, here it is." And he had a valid driver's license. The captain then asked, "Whose car is this?" The driver said, "Well, it's mine. Here's the registration." The captain then said, "Would you please open the glove box?" And the man opened it. The captain looked in. There was no gun. The captain finally asked if he would open the trunk. And when the guy popped the trunk, the captain looked inside. And there was no body. The captain said to the driver, "I don't understand. My officer said you told him that you didn't have a license, that you had stolen the car, that you had a gun in the glove box, and that there was a dead body in the trunk." The driver said, "He did. And I bet the liar told you I was speeding too." Someone has said that a lie is a very present help in the time of trouble. And many Christians don't view lying as the grievous sin that it really is. Some Christians would not even dare think about viewing an R-rated movie, which they shouldn't, but they would drop a lie in a minute if it'll save their skin or get them out of a pinch. And some don't mind misleading others to make a sale, to make a profit, to take an undeserved tax deduction, or to get out of a jam. Lying is another one of those little foxes that we tend to overlook, but it has grievous consequences. God takes lying very seriously, so much so that it made his top 10 list of thou shalt nots. The Ten Commandments. And it also made the top 7 list of things that God hates in Proverbs 6. Revelation 21:8 says, "All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone." Lying can have grievous consequences. And God hates lying because it is diametrically opposed to his character. Hebrews 6:18 says, "For it is impossible for God to lie." Lying is diametrically opposed to the character of God. John 17:7 says that everything that God says is true. And as Christians, our lives must reflect the character of God. If we are truly his children, then we must bear the Father's nature. So let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer out loud, but honestly think about this. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being someone who has a reputation as a liar, and 10 being a person of integrity, someone who is completely honest all the time, how would God grade you? Where would you fall on that scale if God was grading you? And how do others view you? Do they trust you as a totally honest person, or do they have to question you and wonder about your truthfulness and your genuineness? Do you have a reputation as a liar, or do people know that what you say is absolutely true? Can people take you at your word? Do you do what you say you will do? And do you tell the truth even when it will cost you something? Lying is easy, but the truth is difficult at times. And sometimes the truth is costly. Do you tell the truth even when it costs you? Because that is what is pleasing and honoring to God. Today we want to look at the truth about lies, and we want to see what the Bible really says about lying. And the first thing I want us to look at is the demonic root of lying. John 8, verse 44. Jesus said, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." We need to recognize that Satan is behind all lying. All lying. Jesus unquestionably declares that lies belong to the kingdom of darkness. He says Satan was a liar from the beginning of time. The very first time we encounter Satan in the Bible, he's lying to man about God in the Garden of Eden. He lies about the truth of God's word. "Has God not said? Surely you will not die." And he sows questions. He sows doubt in the mind of Adam and Eve about the truthfulness of God's word. "You won't really die." He lies about the goodness of God. Even though God had given them all the trees of the garden to eat from, he calls their attention to the one tree that God had forbidden. And he implies that God doesn't want you to eat of this tree because God doesn't want what is best for you. God is holding out on you. He's keeping back good things from you. So in the Garden of Eden, he is lying to man about God. Then we see Satan in the book of Job lying to God about man. He says, "The only reason Job serves you is because you have been so good to him. Take away his blessings and see how quickly he turns on you." He was lying to God about man. And Satan lies so much he can't even keep his lies straight. To Adam and Eve, he says, "God is not good enough. He's holding out on you." In the book of Job, he says to God, "You've been too good." He can't even keep his lies straight. In the Gospels, he filled Judas's heart to betray Jesus. And he filled the hearts of the Jewish leaders to bring lying accusations against Jesus to have him crucified. In the end times, the Bible says Satan will use lying signs and wonders to deceive many. From beginning in the book of Genesis to the end of time, Satan is a liar, and he advances his will and his purpose in this world and in your life through lying. We need to realize that when we lie, we align ourselves with Satan. When we lie, we align ourselves with Satan. Jesus said it this way. He says, we become children of Satan. He is our father. His exact words were, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires." When we lie, we identify ourselves with Satan. And when we lie, Jesus said, we carry out Satan's will. We become Satan's servant. Boy, it got awful quiet in here. Interestingly, lies go hand in hand with secretiveness. We do things secretively when our conscience and the conviction of the Holy Spirit tells us that we shouldn't be doing them. We don't want to be found out because we don't want to stop what we're doing. And every time we do something in secret to keep others from finding out the wrong we're doing, we have started to lie. We've started to align ourselves with Satan. Then if we get trapped, what do? We lie to get out of it. That's why we need to be careful not to do the slightest thing secretively. Someone sent me an email this week, and the email said, integrity is when you would do something. Integrity is what you would do even if you knew you would never be caught, but you would do the right thing. See? The minute you start with secretiveness, you are opening the door to darkness. When we're tempted to do something secretly, we need to immediately stop and ask, why don't I want others to see me do this? The answer is probably because there is something wrong with what we're doing. When the Jewish leaders accused Jesus, he said, I have spoken openly to the world. I have done nothing in secret. Jesus was saying, I have nothing to hide because I haven't done anything wrong. So everything he said and did, he did openly. And as a follower of Christ, we ought to be able to say like Jesus, everything that I have said and done in my life can be done in front of anyone and everyone because everything that I am doing is right in the sight of God. Jesus said, I am the light. And what does light do? It exposes what is hidden in the darkness. Isn't that right? A room can be full of all sorts of stuff, and if you tried to walk through that room in the dark, you'd trip over all that stuff. But the moment you turn the light on, it exposes what was hidden in the darkness. And throughout Scripture, God is represented as light. That is his nature. Light exposes. Light makes visible. There is no hiddenness in light. And light also throughout Scripture symbolizes truth. And the Bible says that God has redeemed us to be children of light. Walk therefore as children of light. If we speak and act in the sight of God, we won't do anything secretively, but we will only do that which can stand up in the light of God. In contrast to God being light and God being truth, Satan is the liar and the lord of the kingdom of darkness. And if we speak, you see, darkness covers, darkness hides. And if we speak and act in the dark, if we do things secretively, if we do things covertly, not wanting our words and deeds to come into the light, Jesus says, we belong to Satan. We belong to the kingdom of darkness. That's some serious truth. So we are constantly confronted with small, hidden situations that make us decide between light and darkness. And when you make that small decision to crack a door open to darkness, you are giving the devil an opportunity to put his foot in the door and open it wide open. Constantly confronted with small hidden situations that make us decide between light and darkness. Jesus' words are very serious. For everyone who does evil hates the light. When somebody is in sin and you try to tell them the truth of God's word, what is their response? They hate it. When someone is in sin and you try to invite them to church, what is their response? They don't want anything to do with it. That's what Jesus is talking about. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God. See, the person who's doing what's right, they don't have any fear of the light. They don't care what the light shows up because they don't have anything to hide because they're doing what's right before God. We must not take lying lightly. There is no such thing as a little white lie. All lies are demonic in origin. It is Satan's deception to make you think that there can be something called a white lie when lying is of darkness. God is truth, and anything less than truth is sin. It is the will of Satan, Jesus says. So the origin of lying is demonic. Now let's look at the diverse reality of lying, because lying takes many forms. Falsehood is probably the most widely recognized form of lying. A false statement or a half statement of truth deliberately presented as true and the whole truth. Something meant to deceive or give a wrong impression. It could be as simple as asking someone to say that you are not home when the phone rings and it's somebody you don't want to talk to. Hello? You do that and you open a door to Satan. And the next time, it'll be easier to tell a bigger lie and a bigger lie and a bigger lie. And before you know it, Satan has domination in your life. Talebearing is another form of lying. A talebearer loves to tell stories on other people. A talebearer will tell whatever they've heard without stopping to find out whether or not it's true and without regard to how it may hurt someone else. Talebearing is the spreading of any story or any information, whether true or not, that affects the reputation of someone else. Whether true or not, but it does damage to the reputation of someone else. Talebearing can even disguise itself as a prayer request. We're in a prayer service and somebody says, "Let's pray for Brother Billy Boat Joe Bob, because I heard he was cheating on his wife. And bless his dear soul, let's pray that God will bring him to repentance." Now, nobody knew Billy Joe was cheating on his wife until you asked for prayer. Hello? Oh, how about this? "Let's pray for our pastor that God will give her wisdom." Hallelujah. "In the decisions that she's making. Because some of those decisions, glory be to God, she needs some wisdom." Hallelujah. And you just destroyed your pastor's reputation and you spiritualized it as a prayer request. Hallelujah. Talebearing is also known as gossip. It's also known as gossip. Leviticus 19:16 says, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among my people." Remember, listening to the juicy facts of the tale is just as wrong as speaking the juicy facts of the tale. Someone has said, "He who buys stolen goods is as guilty as the one who stole it." Do you know that if you buy a cheap TV and you say, "Oh, this is a deal that's just too good to pass up," and you get this really wonderful 50-inch, flat screen TV, and you only paid $250, and you're praising God because you got this deal, and the police find out that it's stolen goods, they can arrest you for receiving stolen goods. Hallelujah. So the person who tells the lie is as guilty as the person who listens to the lie. And the person who bears the gossip is as guilty as the person who hears the gossip. And have you ever noticed that every church there's always three or four people who know everything about everybody, about everything that's going on? Why is that? Well, the reason is that they've become a trash receptacle for other people to dump everything they've heard on them. You know, when you see a trash can and it says trash on it, you know where to put your garbage. Hallelujah. And there's some folks that walk around in the church and they have a signal that says, trash accepted, willing to listen, whatever you have to say. And so people dump all their garbage on them. Don't forget, if that person tells you a tale about someone else, they will soon be telling a tale about you. So don't listen. Don't listen. Stop them in love and say, this is not godly. We should not be speaking this way. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful or a loyal spirit conceals the matter. Conceals the matter. Slander is another form of lying. Slander is deliberately invented and maliciously spread falsehood about another with the intention to hurt or damage their reputation. So talebearing could be a truth, but it damages somebody's reputation. But slander is generally something that has been deliberately invented to damage somebody's reputation. The devil is a slanderer. His name means accuser. And he falsely accused God to man and man to God. Psalm 101 verse 5 said, God warns whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will cut you off. I'm telling you, God is speaking some very serious stuff about lying. Exaggeration is another form of lying. And beneath every exaggeration, there is a seed. The seed of truth that is stretched. We've all heard fishing stories. You should have seen the one that got away. And it really was just a little guppy, you know. Exaggeration. Or we might have a complaint. And instead of going to the person and saying, I feel this or that, we say, everybody feels this way. It's just you. Nobody else has said anything. But everybody feels this way. A woman went to the famed evangelist Dwight L. Moody and asked how she could be delivered from the habit of exaggeration to which she was very prone. And Moody's uncompromising answer was, call it what it is, ma'am. Call it lying. And he said, deal with it like you would any other work of the devil. And the woman was shocked. Exaggeration is lying. Innuendo is another form of lying. Innuendo is not a direct statement, but it's an insinuation that just plants some doubt or some questions about someone else in your mind. What if you went up to somebody and you said to him, sure was good to see John in church on Sunday. Maybe he repented, praise the Lord, and you walked off. Now that person had no idea that John even did anything that needed to be repented of. But you walked away and you left that person questioning. You left that person questioning. Flattery. Flattery is another form of lying. Insincere praise. Insincerely telling people what they want to hear because it's easier or it benefits you in some way. Heard a story of a pastor that this woman baked a pie for him, and he was very grateful for it and what have you, and took it home, and the family, you know, tried to eat it after their Sunday meal, and the thing was horrible. It's disgusting. And so they ended up throwing it away. So the next week, the woman asked him, oh, pastor, how'd you like the pie? He said, well, a pie like that sure doesn't last long around my house. Every week thereafter, she had another pie. Insincerely insincerely telling people what they want to hear because it's easier. Please, nobody bring me no pies. Well, some of you, I know you make some awesome cheesecakes. Don't bring those either. I'm on a diet. But insincerely telling people what they want to hear because it's easier or it benefits you in some way. Salesmen, they are wonderful at this. Con men, they are wonderful at this. Even kids, they know how to lay it on thick when they want something. Psalm 55, verse 21 says, "The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, but they were drawn swords." Someone said it this way: when someone starts buttering you up, remember that they're probably preparing you for lunch. Excuses are another form of lying. Excuses are generally weak reasons, if such, stuffed with lies. Satan is behind all lies, and he's a master of disguises. So lying takes many shapes and forms, and when we lie, we are not just deceiving others. We are being deceived by Satan to become his servant and to do his will in this world. It's a serious thing. What is the definitive remedy for lying? The definitive remedy for lying. Commit to tell the truth. Ephesians 4:25 said, "Therefore, having put away falsehood," or having put away lying, "let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." See, Paul is talking about in that passage, he's talking about how we can no longer live like the Gentiles, like the unsaved. Because they go according to the passions of their fleshly nature. But he says, we have to put off our old man, which is corrupt in its deceitful pleasures and desires. And we have to put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and holiness in Christ Jesus. And then he starts giving us a list of things that we need to put off and a list of things we need to put on. The things we need to put off, they are natural to our sinful nature because our sinful nature was under the dominion of Satan. And the things that we need to put on, they are the things of God that are in accordance with the character and nature of God. And here he says, in that list, he says, having put away falsehood, we need to put off lying. And we need to put on speaking the truth. We need to commit to be truthful in all of our communications and dealings with one another. And we need to invite others to hold us accountable. We need to welcome others to stop us when we're gossiping or slandering. And we need to immediately confess, immediately correct, and immediately commit ourselves to the truth. Because if we allow a small deception, it will grow increasingly and increasingly in our life, as will the dominion of darkness. Commit to tell the truth, even when it costs you something. Because that is what is glorifying and honoring to God. Secondly, we need to commit to love the truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." To love the truth is to love Jesus. We need to seek him, seek to know him more deeply, to follow him more closely, to obey him more fully. Then we will become like him. And when we become like him, Jesus said, "I am the truth." When we become like him, we will be truthful in all of our dealings. We will be men and women of integrity. Jesus is the truth. His word is truth. And when we love his word, we love truth. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth." His word will sanctify us. It will purge out of our life the things that are not pleasing to God. It will cleanse us. It will purify us. It will make us holy unto God, separated from darkness, separated from sin, and devoted unto God. If we love the truth of God's word, if we read it, if we meditate upon it, if we pray it into our lives, if we commit to obey it even when it is difficult, it will sanctify us. It will set us apart from sin. It will set us apart unto the holiness of God to live a life of truthfulness that is well-pleasing in His sight. The conflict between lying and honesty is really the conflict between Satan and God, between darkness and light. The choice to lie, even if it's a white lie, is a choice to follow Satan. And the choice to tell the truth is a choice to honor God and identify ourselves as the children of God. What choice do you make? What choice do you make? And today, will you commit yourself to be a person of integrity, that whether or not what you do will ever be seen by another person or caught by another person, you will do what is right in the sight of God because you commit yourself to be a person of integrity? Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. Your word is true. And Father, we pray that your truth will try our hearts today, Lord God, and that the power of the Holy Spirit will convict us of any area in our life where there has been a lack of truthfulness, a lack of integrity, maybe a bending of the truth or not telling the whole truth or maybe slandering or gossiping or exaggerating, whatever it might be. And Father, we pray for your conviction in any area of our life where there has been anything less than the truth. And Father, today, I pray that every person who names the name of Christ will commit themselves to be a person of truth, to live the truth, to love the truth, to be a person of integrity when others are watching and when others are not, so that our life may be pleasing and honoring to you in all ways. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the place to start in a life of truthfulness is that if we've not already come to Christ and been truthful about our sinful condition, that we would come to Him in what the Bible calls repentance. Repentance is a turning away from our sinful way, and turning to Christ and confessing our sins to Him and asking Him to forgive us of our sins. We become truthful with ourselves and with God about our sin. We ask Him to forgive us, and then we invite Him into our life and ask Him to be the Lord of our life, to help us from this point forward to live a life that's pleasing to Him. And if you have not previously come to Christ and become truthful with Him and yourself, repented of your sins and said, God, I'm a sinner and I ask you to forgive me. If you've never done that before, or maybe you did it once long ago, but you drifted away and some things have entered into your life since that time that you need to come to God and be truthful about it and give your heart back to Him today. This is the beginning of what the Bible calls salvation or being born again. It's the beginning of a relationship with God. And the Bible says He is light, and if we would have fellowship with Him, we have to walk in the light even as He is in the light. He is truth, and if we would have fellowship with Him, we must walk in the truth even as He is truth. And so if you're here today and you've never come to Christ and been truthful with yourself and God about your sin and asked Him to forgive you, or maybe you did it many years ago, but you drifted away and there's things that have come into your life now that you need to come and be truthful with God about and repent of it and ask Him to forgive you. And you would say today, pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to God and I want to be truthful with myself and with God about the sin in my life. And I want to ask Him to forgive me. And I want to invite Him to come and be the Lord of my life because I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. I want to be born again. I want to have fellowship with him. I want to have a relationship with him. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to be truthful.